This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Braggadocious alert, braggadocious alert.
Woo! We did it, you guys. We
have an exciting announcement. Tig and Cheryl True Story now has merchandise for sale. Go to podswag.com/truestory to check it out. We listened to you and we made merchandise.
We heard you. We have a mug that says don't spill the beans.
And you'll make national headlines in one of our t-shirts and hoodies. Yeah. Buy one for yourself or your friend or your family or your enemies, your neighbor. Buy one for a stranger.
For your enemy.
Yeah. Go to podswag.com/truestory and pick up a True Story t-shirt, hoodie, or coffee mug. That's podswag.com/truestory. Cheryl, this is the intro, and we are grabbing it to begin our show.
Yes.
You don't have to be a twin to care about this movie, right?
No. You just have to be alive and have a heartbeat.
That's right.
We cover a lot of stuff. We cover Matthew Modine.
Matthew Modine came up again.
Listen, you can fast forward through the Matthew.
3 weeks ago, I would have said, is he dead?
Oh, no.
Did he get out of the business?
No. You did say that, by the way. And now you can't stop talking about him.
Oh, my God. He comes up all the time.
All right, you guys. But shall we get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Three Identical Strangers.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl Hines.
Tig Notaro.
That's right.
Hey, I said it right.
You sure did.
How are you?
Well, I already told you.
I told you
before we started recording that I'm in a stressful work situation.
I know.
And that's putting it mildly.
Mildly.
Yeah. Wouldn't you say after I described what the work situation
is? It just makes me want to say, don't you ever just want to stand up in a room when people are being idiots and just go, fuck you all, and storm out?
You know what? I did that one time.
You did not.
No, not in a group. I did it in a relationship with somebody. Yeah. I did the F you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't feel like there was any way to be heard. So I thought, you know what? I've never said this in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this.
Yeah. How did it go?
She laughed at me.
Oh.
And it felt so clunky. I didn't believe it and she didn't believe it. The way you're laughing right now was her response.
Oh, when my God.
When I
did
said
not,
it.
That is not the effect you want to have.
I
always think about the people that get so mad and passionate. Like they throw a glass across the room. And I always think, why can't I do that? But I think I would have the same thing where it's like, okay, Cheryl, go clean it up. I don't know what you think you're doing.
Have you done an FU?
No. No.
Yeah.
I want to.
Mine was so calculated in my relationship where I was like, there was a lot of like, okay, I'm going to say this. This is going to really
rock
stop everything in its tracks.
This person, get ready.
Get ready. And then it just was like, wah, wah,
just
wah.
At you.
She truly laughed. And we were in like a real heated moment of an argument. And she laughed. And I think it probably broke the tension enough to, well, we didn't
to
pull
really
through long term.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. I did an FU once.
It doesn't always work. But, okay, listen, we're going to table all of your feelings. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about our documentary today.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
Can you do this with a clear head? And yeah.
Whew.
It'll be a palate cleanser.
Yes, it will.
Actually, this film is really crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think? Okay. So today we're talking about Three Identical Strangers. It is a 2018 documentary directed by Tim Wardle. I hope. That can't be the way you say it. Wardle? I know I hit the R's too hard. Wardle.
You know, he's probably listening. We'll
yes.
Probably
hi, Tim.
From him.
Hey, Tim. Hey.
Hey, Tim. Hey. Is that from something? Like,
it's
that
gotta be like from the 80s.
Is it like a TV show or a movie catchphrase or somebody's like,
hey, girl, hey.
Yeah, I feel like I hear people say that.
Or they did 10 years curious. Ago or something. Yeah, let us
right.
know.
Were they
you guys...
cool people?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't
hey,
think
girl,
it was
hey.
Ever. I don't think it was ever cool.
It's the same when I do an FU as when I do a real hey girl hey.
Yeah, we do.
It's
I
the
like
same the, reaction.
Yes, it's the same
it's
reaction.
It's laughter.
Okay, back on track. This 2000 documentary directed by Tim Wardle. That sounded a little better. It follows the
really
intersecting
didn't.
Lives of a set of identical triplets. Who were separated as babies, creating a case study for nature versus nurture and exposing serious issues with the American adoption process. The film debuted at Sundance, where it won the Special Jury Award for Storytelling. Three Identical Strangers is available to watch on Hulu. Oh my God, this movie.
Had you seen it before?
I had.
Me too.
And once again, I felt like, oh, maybe I don't need to watch it again because I remember it so clearly. And I'm really glad I did.
Me too.
This is like the only thing we have to do for this podcast. And like that, we're always like, should I watch it?
Should
it or
I dial
not?
It in again? And even when we do our research, we still seem like we're dialing it in. That's the really, really sad element of it
so
all.
So imagine if we don't watch it. Imagine that dial in. It is like, to a new level. But anyway, we're not there yet.
We should do an episode where we cover a movie and we neither of us watch it and we just talk about what we think it's about.
I mean, like, if we would have done that with Sasquatch, I would have...
That would have been a really... Oh my gosh, this is a great idea. We could do two-part episodes for a documentary where it's like Sasquatch... Episode one, we talk about what we think it's about.
Oh my God.
And then the follow-up episode, we actually talk about what it was about.
Who has time to listen to these two episodes?
Our listeners.
Oh, no, they don't.
No, it gives us more time to before we have to watch another movie because you sneak up real fast. Where it's like, oh God, we have to watch another movie. So we could just watch two movies a month. And then the first one is what we think. And the second one is what it is.
We think it's about.
Yes!
And then we talk about what
it's
really about.
That'll be so funny. We're going to do it. Okay. So what were you going to say?
Okay. So there's this guy, a Bobby Shafron. I hope that's how you say it. He goes to college in 1980. He shows up. He talks about... that he was never really that popular of a guy in high school. And he goes to college and people are like, hey, so good to see you. Hey, man, what's up? And
they're like, hey, man, hey.
Hey, man, hey. And they're shaking his hand and they're patting him on the back. And girls are coming up to him and kissing him. And how have you been? And he's thinking, wow, this is great and weird.
Yeah, what is happening? I've never been here before.
Yeah. And then this guy comes up and says, you know, hey, Eddie. But this guy, Bobby's like, my name is not Eddie. And it's just like a record scratch moment where it's like, you have to be Eddie. Like, you're my friend Eddie who goes to school here. But he had graduated or left school, so everyone was so surprised to see him. And then Michael, his friend that, you know, is confronting him and saying, you must be Eddie, asks Bobby if he was adopted. And Bobby says he and asks what his birthday was. It was the same birthday as his friend Eddie.
I was a little surprised that he put those pieces together so
quickly. I don't think I would have. I think I would have just been like, well, there are two people in the world that look exactly alike. That's so weird. I mean, he really stuck with it, this guy, Michael.
Yeah, and to be fair, as I'm sitting here looking at you on this Zoom, if you told me that you were not you...
Yeah, you'd be like, eh.
Here's what I'm trying to say. If somebody looked exactly like you and sounded like you, my brain probably wouldn't be able to let go of it.
Yeah, I think I would just be like, look, I know it's you, Tig, so let's move on. I think I would just not accept any other answer.
Okay, but if I found out you really were not you, I wouldn't be like, that is so crazy. Somebody else looks like you. Have a good day. I would be like, wait, where are you from? What?
Oh, so you would totally Michael it.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So Michael calls Eddie, and he's like, there's a guy that looks exactly like you. His name is Bobby. And he puts him on the phone, and then Bobby, when he's describing it, he's like, I felt like I was talking to myself.
Yeah.
A voice that sounded exactly like mine.
Yeah.
And they seemed excited to talk to each other, and then they met each other. We actually have a clip. You want to hear a clip of Bobby and Michael describing Bobby and Eddie's first meeting?
His eyes are my eyes, and my eyes are his eyes, and it's true.
They looked exactly alike. They're duplicates of each other. There was no doubt in my mind that they were twins.
He's going, oh my God. I'm going, oh my God. He's going, holy crap. I'm going, holy crap.
They just looked at each other and they moved it. Every time Bobby moved his head, Eddie moved. And then Eddie would move and then Bobby would move. Like they were looking at a mirror. It was the weirdest thing.
It's so cute, too, because when you watch this film, there's a picture of them looking at each other.
Profiles.
And they looked so happy to see each other.
And they didn't even know they were looking for each other.
No, and they looked exactly alike.
How is it that they both went to the same school?
I don't know. They must have grown up.
Nearby?
I guess. That's
But I mean,
crazy.
Still, that's the thing where I think...
Like, fate.
That could have easily not happened.
Oh, but imagine, though. Imagine if you went to class and somebody that looked exactly like you was sitting in class.
In the class.
In the class. That would be so... it's pretty mind-blowing.
Have you ever seen someone that looks like you?
Not really. I mean, I've seen people that look similar, but not like...
Well, I mean, aside from that woman that was in the curb porn.
Yeah, well, we are identical strangers.
What does she look like?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I only heard about
right,
it.
Right. I remember one time I was in Telluride, Colorado, and I was walking down Main Street and past a restaurant, and there was somebody eating dinner, and I... felt like I saw myself, and I stepped back and I looked in the window and just, I was like, oh my gosh, that person looks like me.
And did they really, really look like you?
I mean, it's been, I think I was maybe 19. I can't really remember, except that they must have looked like this face that you're looking at. But I thought that she looked a lot like me. I mean,
are you adopted? You don't have to answer that if it's personal.
I don't think so, because I look a lot like my mother and father.
But you don't know for sure?
I would say for sure, unless they just never told you. Mm-hmm. And it was like a crazy good match when they saw you
as a tiny, tiny baby. They were like, yeah. I know what she's going to look like when she grows up.
Yeah.
There is a little mystery. There's a mystery that comes with adoption, isn't there? Because they're just unanswered questions that you must have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then for these guys to meet each other and know that they were identical twins, mm-hmm. Just must have been mind-blowing. And then what happens is this guy Howard from Newsday does a story on them. Mm-hmm. And then Ellen Cervone, probably soft C. Ellen Cervone and Alan Lukes, they read the article and realize that Bobby and Eddie look exactly like their friend David Kelman. Okay, that's crazy.
Now there's a third.
There's a third.
And this is where we get three identical strangers.
It is crazy. Is that crazy? Mm-hmm.
It's beyond crazy. I mean, you have to go to the same school and then somebody has to read that newspaper article. It has to happen like that. We're not talking about something going viral like hashtag hot tig on Twitter.
Oh, jeez. I thought we were going to make it. Okay. Right. This has to be, fate has moved exactly the way it had to move. You can quote me.
And, well said.
And all
fate had to move the way that it had to move. And we'll be right back. You know what? We're going to be right back after a commercial break. We're going to go professionally to a commercial, yes. And then you can come back to these,
yes.
Cheryl's thoughts.
We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, Tig.
We are back. And you were saying how, like, thoughts, fate had to move.
Right. All these things had to line up, and then these guys all met each other.
Fate had to move the way it had to move.
Fate, as I always say, fate had to move the way it had
to move.
That it moved. That it moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, a lot of people say it.
Well, it started to catch on.
It's
hard to get it out of your head. It's so
really
catchy.
Sticks.
And poignant.
They meet each other, these three guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, because there's footage of it, which is exciting, right? Because they have this sort of crazy, thick, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very distinguished look. Is that the word?
Distinguished or distinct?
Distinct, yeah. They're not like Thurston Howell.
I wouldn't say they're distinguished. Yeah. They are definitely not like Thurston Howell.
By the way, I like that. That's who I reference. That's who I think is
Thurston.
Distinguished.
Thurston Howell.
He's the only distinguished person I could think of in the moment.
I mean, he's fancy. He's no Thurston Howell. We're not talking about that level, but
distinctive, yeah. Distinctive.
Do you think that I was wondering watching this?
Yeah.
Did they happen to have the exact same haircut, or did they grow it out like that as they started to hang out together?
Well, it looked like the first two did. Bobby and Eddie looked like it. And then when David came aboard, his hair looked shorter. And then when I saw it again, they all had the same hair.
And then they were all in matching outfits.
And they love to match their outfits.
Grown men
in matching outfits and hairdos.
Yeah.
But they were having the time of their lives.
They sure were.
They were like
getting chicks.
Oh my God. In a Madonna movie? That's interesting.
Yeah, wait. What Madonna movie was that?
I have no idea.
I
see it in
the
notes.
Was Matthew Modine in it? Was Matthew Modine in it?
It was a movie with Madonna and Matthew Modine and the triplets. Okay. Thomas, our producer, just told me it was A Desperately Seeking Susan. Matthew Modine was in Vision Quest. You really think that he somehow was... Maybe did he ever date Madonna? Is that why you think that?
I don't know. Let's give her a ring-a-ding. Or let's call Matthew Modine. We should have had Matthew Modine on...
I know Matthew Modine. Do you know Matthew Modine?
I thought you were going to say you know Madonna. Do you know Madonna?
It seems like you would know Madonna and I would know Matthew Modine.
Why does it seem like I would know Madonna?
I don't know, because you like to fancy yourself hip and cool. By the way, is Madonna hip and cool? I know she's listening.
I don't know. Madonna, if you're listening, hey, Madonna, hey. But I doubt you are listening, so nay, Madonna, nay.
I would love for Madonna to be on the treadmill just listening to the podcast.
And for 2 weeks going, no, Matthew Modine was not in that movie.
Was she in Vision Quest? I don't think
was
so.
Was she in Vision Quest?
Oh.
Madonna
Thomas
was in Vision
yes.
Quest.
Thomas is saying yes. No. Thomas is
Why
saying,
do we refuse to look at IMDb?
Why don't we do any sort of research about these projects before we talk?
Wait, how is Matthew Modine coming up?
You
so
brought him up
but
for no reason, and I
naturally
trying to get...
stumbles into our show.
He's
and
part
you
of
know it.
You know what?
You
he's,
know it, girl. You know it.
He's part of our social fabric, so he's woven.
I didn't see it coming. Because the first time he stepped into our show,
yes.
I had forgot about him. And I was like, oh, what happened to him? Wasn't he from Desperately Seeking Susan? And then it's like, oh, no, he's this or that. And I still, to this day, I don't remember if he's in Desperately Seeking Susan.
No, it doesn't stick. But you can't stop thinking about Matthew Modine.
All I know is he came out in a movie in 1985, it feels like. Okay.
Okay. So the triplets, the point is... The point is that these triplets walked around town. They got an apartment together. They dressed alike. They had the hairdos. So when they were walking down the street, when they were shooting, what movie did we just say? Desperately Seeking Susan.
Uh-oh. Or you want to talk about Matthew Modine again?
The director was like, whoa, let's get these guys in the shot. Now, we've gone down a stupid path for no good reason anyway.
So they're in the Madonna movie?
I'm not doing this with you. I am not doing this with you. So
why are you taking this show so seriously?
Because there's a lot to get to. And so far, all we've talked about is Matthew Modine.
Well,
who has
nothing
to do with this movie. Okay. They move in together. They open a restaurant called Triplets. Aww. I mean, when you watch this film... It's fun to watch because they're just having such
it's
a
like
good
dumb fun. And I mean that like you're so happy. It's like when you're in love and you're having that level of dumb fun.
Yes.
You're just like, let's climb a mountain. Let's. Yeah. I remember before I was vegan, I dated this girl and I was like, let's get a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and sit on the rooftop and watch the sun go down. That was our plan.
Aww.
And I bit into the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, no.
And I...
Oh, no. Don't say anything bad. Just don't tell me. Choked on a bone?
Can I just say ligaments?
Okay, no. That's too far.
Okay.
You took it too far. The skin is delicious. Okay. Well, when you say skin, that sounds
no,
weird.
No, it's not. No.
Okay.
Deep-fried skin.
Please. Let's move on.
A fan of ligaments. I'm not a fan of ligaments.
Okay, that's fair. So they're excited to try to find their mom.
Okay.
So they meet up with their mom and they find out that she tells them it was a prom night knockup.
What a crazy
prom
thing.
Night?
Like when prom you night. Think about prom, getting pregnant on prom night.
Yeah.
Which we were all, you know, vulnerable to.
Oh. Yes.
I didn't go to prom. I had dropped out of high school, and this guy, Larry Brischke, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago, he's in the Book of World Records. He's known as Leopard Larry. His whole body is tattooed as a leopard. He asked me to prom. He was one of my good friends.
But he didn't have the tattoos at the time.
No. Okay. He was Larry Brischke. He had big, thick glasses, and he had a lot of acne, and he had greasy hair. But he was just the sweetest, funniest, smartest guy. And we sat together at lunch, and I just loved him so much. And we were pals, you know, for years. Yeah. But anyway, he asked me to prom.
Right. And did you go?
I had dropped out of school. I was like, Larry, I'm not going to prom. We used to go to the lake together. You know what I mean? We were pals. We smoked cigarettes.
You crushed his soul.
I said, I'm going to be playing pool at Slick Willie's. Oh. If you want to join me there, you can. And he did. He came and met me at the pool hall, and we smoked cigarettes and played pool. And there was no chance I was getting pregnant. Certainly not with triplets. That's the thing, is it's like you hear somebody gets pregnant on prom night. You don't think about there could be
triplets that might
triplets
happen.
In there.
It's a lot. That's a lot of responsibility on prom night. A lot going down on prom night.
Oh my gosh. And you think of the girl that maybe is not pro-choice and she carries it full term. And then she's like, 17 with three babies?
Triplets. Because that's not just putting one in a baby sling. And going to the grocery store. You are way outnumbered.
No, that's putting three in a baby thing.
Yeah, but how do you fit them in a baby thing? Okay, Tig.
Yeah.
The thing is that the parents of these boys, these guys, these young men, now they're getting involved because they were never told that these boys were triplets. So the parents went to the agency and said, what's going on? Why didn't you tell us that these guys were triplets? And they said, well, we didn't think that anybody would adopt all three of them. So we decided to separate them. That's what they told the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now is the time. Aiden, if you're vacuuming, you want to stop the vacuum because
Aiden and Brandy? Is that right?
Yeah, Brandy. You're a fine girl. Yes, Aiden and Brandy, if you're vacuuming, stop your vacuum. And put this on pause if you want to watch the film because we are about to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you hear, you can't unhear.
And before we get to any of that,
yes,
we're going to take a break.
Okay.
So let's take a break.
Okay. We're breaking.
Shall we take a... We are breaking right now.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay.
And we're back from that break.
We are back.
What people don't know is when they're listening to an episode of this and we say, we're going to a break right now, they're hearing the commercial in real time.
Yes.
But we don't take a break and listen to that commercial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they care.
But I still would like to let them see.
Let them know.
This, yeah. Oh, behind this little.
Behind the curtain.
The podcasting curtain. That when we say, and we're going to take a break right now, we just take 1 second of silence and then we come back and say, okay, and we're back from the break.
We're back.
We didn't actually sit through a commercial.
Mm-mm. So
just let you know what goes on.
Now, Tig, do you want to tell everybody what the big reveal is?
What, there's so many reveals. I mean, what is the big reveal?
Okay, here's the big reveal. If this is not clear to you, then please. Lawrence Wright, who is a journalist, uncovers a secret scientific experiment that went on with identical babies that were purposefully separated at birth.
It's so sad. And
it
I
is
remember
beyond sad. I know.
What was so, you know, obviously, I have twins.
Yes.
And they are so connected. They love each other so deeply. I mean, when one of them bops the other on the head and we reprimand him, his brother yells at us saying, do not talk to my brother like that. You cannot put my brother... Our big punishment is you have to go sit by the front door. You cannot make my brother go sit by... They think it is like...
They think it's like...
Cruelty.
Yes, like you're sitting on hot ashes.
Oh my gosh. When I'm like, if you do that again, you are going to go sit by the front door.
You are going to sit
for
in that
5 minutes.
Yeah, it is like hot lava.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I won't go.
But his brother is... No. The one in trouble goes, the brother is
screams.
Yelling no. Oh. But when I watch this movie, the most devastating thing, I mean, there's a lot of different sad elements and moments in this story and movie. But when, I think it was the aunt who said, I can't remember the wording, but when the babies were taken out of the crib or away from each other, essentially... They were used to being around each other, and then there's just one baby lying in a crib wondering where his brothers went.
I know. This film definitely takes a dark turn because the tone completely changes because you're going from this joyful reunion, and then you find out that people did this on purpose. Not only did they split up these triplets, but... They put Bobby with wealthy parents. They put Eddie with middle class parents. And they put David with like blue collar immigrant parents who had to make ends meet. And it was all an experiment, nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
So would these guys grow up a different way if they were not around each other? But I guess what doesn't make sense then is, were they still studying these guys when they were older? You know what I mean? How did they know? Did they just abandon this experiment?
It seems like it because their memories are very much like, and I remember a guy being there.
Right. This, oh my God, this, is he a psychiatrist? Yeah, the psychiatrist, Peter Neubauer, he headed up the study and was in cahoots with the Louise Wise Agency. So not only these triplets were separated, but there were lots of twins that were separated as well.
And I just want to be helpful to anybody who is thinking of forming an improv troupe looking for a name. I want to suggest In Cahoots.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Peter Neubauer.
No, that's somebody's dog's name.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peter Neubauer group.
No, Somebody has to name their dog Peter Neubauer.
No.
You know, no, like Peter Dr. Neubauer. Cheryl or Dr.
Becky Hines. No, Peter Neubauer is a bad, he was a bad guy.
Okay, okay. Then in cahoots.
Yeah, in cahoots. In cahoots.
Is the improv troupe. Please welcome in cahoots.
And then there is this guy, Lawrence Perlman, who was part of this. And he talks about it, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of shocking that he's can just talk, and he's sort of laughing about it.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that strange?
Yes.
But he was told that they're just looking at different parenting practices. He's saying that he didn't know all of it, that they had separated these three, and they put them in different socioeconomic groups, and he was just studying the boys when they were younger, and he had footage of it, of him talking to them. But anyway, oh, and this was weird too, that all of the guys had a sister that was, what, 2-3 years older than them? So that was also part of the experiment. It's so, like, you can't even believe this is a real story. It feels like a movie.
Yeah, it's so calculated and crazy. I think it's painful. I mean, for anyone with a child, and then the added pain of being a parent that has twins, when I think of somebody doing this to Max and Finn, I can't even.
No, it's all painful. And not only that, but people that are adopted.
Uh-huh.
And just the idea of,
yeah,
where did I come from and what happened and what were the circumstances? And then to have a story like this come out is just, it must be so emotional. And then here's more difficult things. That at some point, the wheels start to come off. David's dad dies. And it sets off a lot of emotions, a lot of difficulties. Eddie starts having emotional issues. And we find out, sadly, that he ended up committing suicide. I hate even saying this because it's so awful and sad.
And just to make a note here that I feel like people are now referring to it as dying by suicide.
Okay.
Death by suicide. Because, have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, because people feel like if you say commit suicide, then it sounds like,
like a negative, it has a,
yeah. Dying by suicide is almost like you're dying of a heart attack.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you died of a heart attack, you died by suicide.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense. And then also what we find out is that the boys, you know, the second part of the film is very sad. That the boys were disturbed children and teenagers, and they had mentally ill birth parents. So it's unclear if the study purposefully chose twins or these triplets. Yeah, with parents that have a mental illness to see if then they would have a mental illness or if it's, once again, nature versus nurture.
Right.
It's just unbelievable.
To toy with people's lives like that is just devastating.
It is devastating.
I know there's so many unfair elements to life, but that it just is so.
It goes back to, oh my gosh, what if he hadn't gone to that school? And what if Michael, the friend, didn't know the other brother? You know, it's like,
And they were so, when you're watching them go through all of the excitement of reconnecting and the attention and, you know, partying and Madonna puts you in her movie.
Right.
And they just feel ill-equipped almost to
process
and ride that wave. They, you know, you see so many, and I don't think anybody was doing anything maliciously. It's like when a young kid, a young child actor is getting a lot of attention and you see them getting put through this machine of Hollywood, and you're like, oh boy.
Right. Yeah, because it seems like it's almost impossible to process other things when you've got all this mm-hmm. attention coming at you and people wanting you, and you know, everybody wants your attention and wants you to do this and do that. Then are they having time to sit down and think about what's really happening and what's...
And what's really happening is they're not really being embraced by people. People are just using the attention that's on them, whether you're... And I mean, you don't even have to be a child actor. You could be an actor. It's like when you're getting a lot of attention, you're being used, and it's not like you're necessarily making all of these deep friendships or connections or that right. people really care about you. And I think they were just so vulnerable
yeah.
in that process.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it felt a little like, oh, I'm worried about you.
I know.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so fun and exciting in that moment. But when you're sitting back watching it, you're like, be careful, guys.
I know. Because you're watching it, you're like, whoa, this can't be the end of the movie because we're only halfway through.
Yeah.
Because you want it to end there. You want it to end there. But what we find out is that, I mean, it's so shady that the records of the study are sealed at Yale mm-hmm. until 2066. Isn't that crazy? Who can do that? Mm-hmm. And then is it a Yale study? I mean, it must be. Why would they seal it at Yale?
Right.
I mean, I'm not accusing Yale. I don't know.
That sounds like Cheryl wants to get her daughter into Yale.
Hey, Yale. No, I don't know. I just don't understand how it works.
I mean, nothing against Yale and Yale doing studies. Of course, we want them to do studies.
Yes.
We love Yale. You know, we also have children that need to get into college.
it's just weird. And it's weird that it's sealed till 2066. That's so crazy.
Yeah, it feels like, again, to reference another episode of ours, the... Going clear, where they're like, sign a billion-year contract.
Right.
They're like, we're sealing this until...
a billion years later.
Yeah, you can open this in 1 billion years. Sign here.
Go on, sign here. I guess 2066, they're just like, well, everybody will...
Who's going to be alive?
That's it. That's what they're banking on. That nobody's going to care. But one thing that's relatively good, I guess... is that...
And we're looking for just relatively good news at this point.
I know, it's true. Mm-hmm. Bobby and David, as a result of the film, they get access to 10,000 pages of the study with no formal conclusions. Wow.
Oh my gosh. If I got a hold of 10,000 pages of a study...
10,000 is a lot. That's a lot. But it's about you.
No, I know that's a lot. You would have to be really interested in the topic at hand.
Well, yeah, it's your life.
I'm interested in this story, but the documentary was enough.
That was
like,
good.
If I ran into these people on the street, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I saw your story. This was fascinating and I wish you well. But if somebody handed me 10,000 pages of their lives.
You'd be like, whoa. I will circle back with you soon.
Thomas, can you read this and tell me?
And just give me an outline.
Summary.
Can you give me some bullet points?
Can you give me some bullet points on this and tell me if I should read it?
Okay. But then this is, I don't want to leave on a sad note, but Lawrence Perlman speculates that there are still twins out there who don't know they're twins. That's crazy.
There has to be so many of those. There has to be so many twins out there that don't know that they're twins.
That's so crazy.
Is there a chance you're a twin?
I don't think so.
We had a conversation before Max and Finn were born where we said, what happens if we have triplets? Okay. And aside from any sort of health issues, we felt like, we'd take triplets.
Yeah, you would have to.
It sounded fun, you know, to have one of those little
baby carriages with the three.
Yeah, like boop, boop, boop.
What about people that have like octuplets? That just doesn't even seem real, does it?
It doesn't. And I've seen videos where they show you how they get ready for the day and they line up the babies. And they're just like, lift you up, wipe your bottom, lift you up, wipe your bottom, lift you up, wipe your bottom, snap, 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 snap. tie your shoe. Bloop, there goes some food. Bloop, there goes some food. Bloop, there goes some food. God. And wipe your bottom, wipe your bottom, wipe your bottom.
I mean, these parents. And bloop,
there, hold on, I'm not finished. And okay, bloop, no,
we get it. I mean, that's their whole day is just like trying to get through the day. I can't even imagine. It's just
I mean, that's crazy. All any of us are trying to do I is know. Get through the day. And then you toss in, what, two Five to more, eight something. Babies?
I can't.
And you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, Stephanie and I, we have our twins just turned 5, and we feel they are potty trained. They don't wet their beds. They go to school now. They are hardcore vegans. You know, they have their interests. They're playing baseball. We feel like we have finally started to see a little bit of a normal life.
Where you can breathe easily for 1 second.
Yeah, they're at school for 6 hours a day. Yeah. And they're not, you know, they would come into our bed every night at different times. So I haven't slept in years.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just been a process of trying to reach some sort of normal.
And that's two. People have.
It's only two.
People have a lot of kids.
People choose to have not just 2 to 5 or 8 at one time. They have like 8 kids at different ages, and then you outgrow the stroller phase and the diaper phase, and then whoop, here comes another, and you wipe a bottom, tie a shoe, and whoop, and goes the mop.
All right, are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yes, but I have to tell you something very cute.
Oh, okay.
I was home working today, and Stephanie was at the school. Max and Finn, their school has a swimming pool, and there's like group swimming classes, and then you can also sign up for private class once a week, and so they each have their private class, and Stephanie texted me that the teacher swam Max out into the middle of the pool today, and he said, could you please take me back to the shore? He was in a pool.
That's cute.
I'm his parent. I thought it was cute.
It is cute. He went back to the shore.
You did a delayed.
Well, I just wanted to make, because I was waiting for you to say something about poop. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was going to end in poop. I hear kids in
poop. Well, everything ends in poop. That's like when people say, here, eat this or else it'll go to waste. And my answer is always, whether you eat it or not, it goes to waste. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Because
of poop.
Yeah, I get it.
Poop is waste.
It's time for our happily ever after thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Okay. Did you cry?
I cried. And I watched this documentary on a plane, in public.
Yeah.
And I fought the tears back. And remember how I didn't fight the tears back when I watched, what was the Obama documentary? Crip Camp. Remember, I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and let myself have it. Just a big boo-hoo. Yes. And I did it. Well, on that flight, I was doing everything I could. My face was distorted. when I was watching this documentary, and I was just like, are you kidding me? I thought it was just going to be this fun.
Yeah.
Triplets.
They found each other.
Oh,
life is good.
And, oh my gosh, what they went through and losing their brother. I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it. And then adding in just like, oh, what if this happened to Max and Finn? Yes, I cried. Did you?
No. No, but it was hard to watch at times, but I didn't cry, especially on a plane. I'm not judging, but I'm just saying I wish I was sitting next to you when that happened.
Listen.
I would love nothing more to look over and see you with your headphones on, just crying up a storm. And everyone else is just like eating peanuts and drinking Diet Coke. Like, what is up with that lady?
Yeah, walking around, living their lives, and I'm just distorting my face, trying to hold it in.
Oh my gosh, it
was the worst. But yeah, I mean, you would have been in the same position if you had watched Hands on a Hard Body in on a plane.
That's true. That is true.
You would have been crying in front of everyone.
It is worse when you're trying not to. When you're trying not to, and then it happens.
It's terrible.
Because there's an audible. Where it's just like, there's an explosion of sound.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
No.
What did it sound like?
There was no noise. I was holding it in, and it was. I had tears coming out of my eyes.
You were a silent crier?
Well, you're judging.
No, I'm impressed.
So when you're holding it in and you have tears coming, you do a.
Well, I saw Les Mis by myself in New York because everybody had seen it, and I just decided to go to the theater by myself. And I.
Oh, you're such a glamorous intellectual. I don't even know what that is. I'm going to Les Mis by myself. I'll meet up with you at TGI Fridays in Times Square after.
Anyway, I was trying not to call attention to myself, first of all, for going by myself, and second of all, that I'm just like getting emotional, and I was holding it in, and then the next thing I know, I'm like...
I've never seen that. What happens that would make you cold-hearted?
You know what's sad? I don't even remember what it's about. It's very sad.
Mamma Mia?
No, it's not Mamma Mia.
Oh, is that a different movie?
Les Miserables.
No, I know. I guess Mamma Mia is from Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia!
I've only seen Annie.
Yeah.
And you know what I sing? Stephanie loves show tunes.
Yeah.
She knows, oh my gosh, she knows every song. And I sing different musicals I've only really seen Annie, you know? So I'm like, Chicago, Chicago, I love you, Chicago.
And that's all you know.
Well, no, that's not even the song. Chicago is a different musical and I'm singing it to Tomorrow.
To Annie?
Are you not understanding this?
Well, you're singing Chicago to the tune of Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I don't know why that was hard for me to connect.
Nobody catches on to that because it fits so
yes,
well.
Yes, it does.
Singing
it sounds
Chicago
like...
with Tomorrow.
Because you haven't seen Chicago.
No, I've seen Annie.
Well, now I'm trying to think of Chicago and if there's a song that sounds similar to that. I don't think so. But because it does sound right, Chicago, Chicago, I love you, Chicago.
Chicago, you're only a flight away. Whoa, Chicago!
Okay, who were you attracted to? this is a tough
well,
one.
You know...
this is a real I tried
really hard to check out these because this is a good movie to have the same taste, you know, because you and I don't have to fight over because we could be drawn to different personalities.
Right.
You know, and they can look the same. So if you and I are out at a bar and we see these three triplets walk in and you and I are like holding each other back like, whoa, who's this that came in?
Yeah. It's like, no, I'll take the outspoken one and you'll be like, I'll take the shy one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what if we all both like the outspoken one?
Well, is the outspoken one, I can't ever get their names right, but the one that's like, kind of like... he's a little bigger and he's
to be honest with you, they look exactly alike and they sound exactly alike. And I could not tell you. When I was watching them, I'm like, I wish they were all on the screen at the same time. Otherwise, I don't.
Well, yeah, it took me a while. The first time I saw it, I didn't realize that all three of them weren't being interviewed. Did you notice that right away? Because there's so much going on.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that right away. And then you
It wasn't until realized. The end of the movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, they never talked to the other
brother.
They
wouldn't spill the beans.
Yeah.
The sad beans.
I know. They're very sad beans.
So were you attracted?
Who were you attracted?
I have to say, I don't know.
They weren't your time. There was nobody in this documentary?
I mean, there must have been, but... I mean, the doctor
what about the
was
researcher?
A little crazy. He was a little nuts. Like, he was feet up on the thing and just sort of laughing about it.
I'm what
like,
about Madonna? What
well,
about,
I
wasn't
would,
Madonna in the movie?
No, but we talked about her.
No, she walks by, right?
Oh,
she
do
walks
they,
by
do they do a Do they do a clip from the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take Madonna. I'll take Madonna.
Wow, so Madonna's your type.
Well... Listen, if the world was ending and I had to make out with somebody in the elevator, I think it would be Madonna.
So wait, if Madonna and the three triplets were in an elevator, you would make out with Madonna?
This is a fair question. And this sounds so mean and superficial.
Yeah.
Are we talking like 80s?
Oh, you have a particular decade.
Yeah.
That you're into. You like 80s Madonna?
No, I like 80s triplets.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, what Madonna do you have
I don't know. I was
for?
Just, I guess, remember when she did the naked thing and she had the...
The like... naked thing? Isn't that...
Her whole shtick.
Yeah.
Every decade was Madonna naked. I don't know. Oh, maybe, I don't know. Well,
wait,
what about
you? What
is
the naked thing?
Remember she did a whole... you know, she did the book where she was naked and she was hitchhiking completely nude.
Oh, I don't know. This sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
I really liked Borderline.
Borderline. Oh,
I like it when she sings it.
How? Yeah. Are you kidding me? I just listened to your
Chicago
bullshit.
Chicago!
Okay, who are you attracted to?
I would say probably Eddie.
All right. That's fair. Yeah. He was cute. They were cute. They were tight. They were like a New York, hey.
You know who else was in this documentary?
Huh.
Tom Brokaw.
I could get down on Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about
so
that.
So goodbye.
Oh,
name
you know who
Madonna
else
name.
Was in? You know who? Who else? Phil Donahue. But I think I would do Tom Brokaw.
You what?
I would do Tom Brokaw.
I can't hear you. I really can't.
No.
You cut out. What? No, I swear, you cut out. What did you say?
Tom Brokaw. If you had to do Tom Brokaw or Phil Donahue, I'm saying, who would you choose?
Oh, Tom Brokaw. I heard somebody imitate Tom Brokaw and do a character called Tom Brokenjaw.
Oh.
I'm Tom Brokenjaw.
I've seen Tom Brokaw in
Hello.
Shorts. In shorts.
Should we go to commercial?
I think it's a good time to end. By the way...
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we'll be talking about The Housewife and the Hustler, an ABC News documentary you can watch on Hulu. Very excited about
okay.
that one. Very excited about that one. Do you want to hear some true fan mail?
I don't see why not.
Megan G. writes, Tig, your instincts were bang on. By the way, Cheryl, we Canadians use that expression all the time. Whoa. I remember that bang on. Remember when we talked about bang on? I guess I'll believe you. Okay, no. Okay. No, Matthew Modine was not in Desperately Seeking Susan, but Madonna was in Vision Quest.
Oh, she was?
She did a cameo singing Crazy for You in a bar while Matthew Modine danced with his love interest.
See, this is where the confusion lies.
Megan G gets it. Oh, wow. That is amazing.
I really liked that song, Crazy for You.
How does that go?
Well, I'm not going to sing it after you ridiculed me after I...
How does it go? feel like I know all the Madonna songs, but that one's not ringing a bell.
Crazy for You?
Oh, wait.
I'm crazy for you, baby. Oh. She does one of those, like...
Yeah. It's like crazy a ballad. It's like a ballad at the end.
Maybe she didn't say baby, but she's like, crazy for
crazy
you.
Crazy for you.
You know, like...
Ugh, her last
after
breath.
After singing. Yeah, after oh, she sings. Crazy for and you. She, here's the last thought. I'm crazy for you.
Now I'd have to go listen to that song. Okay, Taylor R. writes, your podcast has affected me on a deep level. I know this because my speaking habits are morphing into Cheryl's. Oh, no. Whenever I want to emphasize something, I go from my normal speaking tone to that of a humpback whale octave.
Thanks, I guess. A humpback whale.
I know. Is that high?
That's so flattering.
Is that high or low?
I would assume it's this.
But don't whales like...
Hi, I'm Cheryl Hines.
Nobody would know I was imitating you.
No, they definitely would not. Okay, you want to hear one more?
Mm-hmm.
Deborah F. writes, I thought Cheryl might be interested in a different perspective on tank tops. I am. I grew up Mormon in Utah. It's considered immodest for Mormon women to have exposed shoulders, even little girls, so I wasn't allowed to wear tank tops growing up, even in the 100-plus degree heat of Utah summers. However, I left the church a few years ago, and now I wear tank tops in the summer like a badge of freedom.
That is a big F you.
It's indescribably glorious to feel a cooling breeze on my bare shoulders and pits instead of a dank pit-stained tee.
Maybe on my pits?
Maybe if you imagine every tank top wearer as a former body-shamed Mormon luxuriating in bodily autonomy, it will help you hate them less.
You know what? I'm going to write in, tell them about my pits.
Deborah,
I should know about my pits.
Deborah F. is flaunting it. All right. I'm going to remember that next time. By the way.
Deborah F. Pitts.
Huh? I thought of you, Tig, because I'm going to see Brad Paisley in concert. Just dropping that name. I know that impresses you. And it's going to be hot as bing balls. And I thought.
Where are you seeing him?
In Nashville. And I thought, should I wear a tank top? I don't know. It makes me laugh just thinking about it.
And why didn't you invite me to Brad Paisley?
Wasn't my place.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, he loves you.
Well, did you tell him I love him?
I did. I told him that you love the way he shreds.
Yeah.
And he said, I love her.
Well, tell him that... Boy.
I'm sure he's listening.
I would
hey,
like
Brad, hey.
An invite. Hey, Brad, hey. Tell him I love the way he shreds, and I would like to go to Nashville, and I would like for him to buy my plane ticket and my concert ticket and my hotel room.
I will not.
And then that will prove his love for me.
I will not.
But he is not allowed to check me for ticks.
Oh, it is such a great song.
It is so silly. You. It is the silliness.
I can't think of the
Go on. Two, three, and crazy
check
for you.
Crazy for you. I'm crazy for you.
Checky for tits.
All right, guys. We love reading.
What if he ended his song like that? Checky for tits.
For tits. Oh, my God.
That is not.
Checky for tits? That... Tig.
I meant to say tics, and I said checky for tits, which is what people do to me.
Oh, imagine if Brad Paisley ended his song with that.
Checky for tics.
Okay.
Or for tits.
For tits. Okay, listen. We've gone so far off the rails.
Oh, my God.
Late.
That is such a funny thing. If we have to tell Brad, I want to make, even though I'm not on TikTok, I want to make a TikTok video with him singing, I want to check you for tits to me.
Oh, my God.
For Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, okay. We'll tell him that. Oh, I can't wait to see. I really cannot wait to see this. Everybody, we love reading your messages, your comments, and reviews. Keep letting us know what you think about the docs and leave us a review, and we might just read your responses on the show.
Okay.
It's too late to promote anything. Let's just say keep on keeping on, everybody. Keep listening, And we will...
And reaching for the stars.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Keep listening and keep reaching for the stars.
And we'll be back in 2 and 2. Remember when Chuck Woolery would do that?
Yes. Why did we watch that show?
I don't know. It was so dumb.
It was so low rent and dumb.
And he would always say, I'll be back in 2 and 2. And I loved it.
And he didn't believe in the coronavirus. But listen, we don't have to go into that. But anyway.
Point is, we will be talking about the housewife and the hustler. Yeah.
And keep listening and keep reaching for the stars. And we'll be back in 2 and 2.
And should we do it again?
We should do it again.
Okay.
So stupid.
Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.